Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Have you ever taken a long road trip? What happens during the last half hour before you get home? I'll tell you what would happen in our family. When we would go on a road trip, the last half hour was always the hardest. That's when someone had to go to the bathroom right now. Just looking at a sibling would start a fight, and the snacks were all gone. This Sunday's gospel feels like the last half hour of a long trip. We are finally at the end of the bread discourse, which has unfolded over the last 5 Sundays. John begins by telling us how Jesus fed over 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread. Then Jesus told the crowd, it's not the loaves that matter. He is the bread of life. Now, Jesus says we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. To shock us even more, Jesus uses a new Greek word for eating. Instead of using the word phago, which means to consume, he now uses the word trogo, which means to gnaw or to crunch. It's not the Jewish officials or the crowds who are horrified, but Jesus' own disciples. They are offended by Jesus' language, his imagery, his metaphors. I mean, who can listen to this indeed? What an end to a long trip. Again, people only hear the literal sense of the word and totally miss Jesus' point. We saw this in Nicodemus, who couldn't understand being born again. We saw this when the crowds wanted real bread, not the promised bread of life. And now we see it in the commandment to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Even those closest to him can't see beyond the literal. His disciples murmured at this. The phrase they murmured is really too kind. It's better translated as grumbling, just like the Israelites grumbled in the wilderness because they felt abandoned. They did not trust the Lord to provide for their needs. We too may find ourselves in the wilderness of sickness or brokenness or fear. We too may be tempted to think that God has abandoned us, that God is not trustworthy. We too may grumble that God hasn't treated us right. Does this cause you to stumble? Paul wrote to the Galatians of the stumbling block of the cross and told the Corinthians that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying. The gospel causes people to stumble, in part because God's ways are not our ways. If it was our choice, we would not save the world by weakness, but by power. We would not choose to have God's Son born in a manger, but in a palace. We would not choose a cross, but a sword, or a classroom, or a medical lab, or a wealthy, charitable foundation, just anything that would give us power to exercise control. The gospel causes people to stumble because it's costly. When Christ called us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he is inviting us to participate in his death. The Christians who first heard this gospel experienced persecution. They knew martyred Christians. They suffered themselves under the threat of martyrdom. And they knew Christians who avoided martyrdom by compromising their faith. The church has been tempted to soften the offense of the gospel, to make it not so hard to hear by tailoring its message to fit the world's values. We are constantly bombarded by a culture which promotes power wealth and self-promotion, not the love of neighbor and selfless service of Jesus. The more prosperous and sophisticated we become, the more we attempted to love prosperity and sophistication, and the less likely we are to challenge the culture in which we live. A gospel that offends is hard teaching. But a gospel that doesn't offend is like a surgeon with no scalpel, no power to heal. Jesus Christ will always be an offense, except to those who follow him. The cross will always be an offense, except to those who follow him. The church must always be ready to give offense, to speak out for Christ, and against the destructive beliefs and behaviors that the world finds so attractive. This is a hard teaching. Jesus' teaching alienated many, so they left. They left because they couldn't or wouldn't see beyond the literal. Jesus, the living bread, claims that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood abides in him, and he abides in that person. This is not teaching about food choices. This hard teaching is about the deep, intimate relationship that we have with Jesus when we come to the table. Holy Communion is one of the great mysteries of our faith. We ask, how then are the bread and wine in the sacrament the body and blood of Christ? Martin Luther explains it this way: the bread and wine in the sacrament are Christ's body and blood by sacramental union. By the power of his word, by the power of his word, Christ gives his body and blood in, with, and under the wine. To share the wine and bread at the table is to literally ingest Jesus' teaching, his character, his mind, and ways, until his mind becomes our mind and his ways our ways. This eating and drinking expresses oneness, intimacy, and the best way to be a part of Jesus' life. Jesus' teachings may be challenging. He did not shy away from them, and neither should we. Are we willing to stay with Jesus, not walk away, even when his teachings seem too hard? Can we, like Peter, say, to whom shall we go? And commit to Jesus, whose words give life. Can we embrace the mystery of eating his flesh and drinking his blood so that we have a deeper relationship with him? What might this deeper relationship lead to? Would we associate with different people? Would we do different things with our time? Would we spend our money in a different way? Would we treat a partner, a child, a neighbor, a classmate, or a teammate with more dignity and grace? Might we look at ourselves anew? Can we ask for the grace of God when it seems the teaching is too hard? So, when your journey feels way too long, remember God's grace and Christ's love. Dear church, come to the table and be fed with the body and blood of Christ. Then go and tell others what it has done for you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise.